Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. This episode is the Eric Vidal Georgia Smoke Diver Special. Eric Vidal was one of two Miami-Dade firefighters that earned the coveted title of Georgia Smoke Diver. With various smoke diver programs out there, I wanted to conduct an episode where Eric can describe how individuals can prepare themselves physically and mentally to hopefully be successful. Eric shares various attributes one needs to take on the task. Now, this is no secret formula or recipe for success, but hopefully can give some insight to prepare. For that, I present Mr. Eric Vidal. I'm here with the 2024 Georgia Smoke Diver successful passing candidate, Eric Vidal. And Eric, first off, before we start, man, I appreciate you coming on the second time to do this episode for me.
Thank you for having me, sir. Humbled and grateful, you know, honored just to be here.
Absolutely. Okay, so what this episode is geared to are the individuals out there who are potentially thinking about enrolling themselves in a smoke diver program. It doesn't necessarily have to be Georgia's smoke diver program, but a smoke diver program in general, because they're all physically and mentally taxing to wear you down, but to have you think straight and think critically, I'm assuming for five ground operations. So my first question to you, Eric, is what did you do physically to prepare for the Georgia Smoke Diver program, and how long was the process?
So being fully transparent, this was my first time applying to the program. I've applied several times, and finally I got in. I was accepted to attend. So I was training for the program on and off for about a solid year. And Danny, there's really no secret, you know, pill or secret sauce. It's just the template is there, man. It is what it is on the YouTube channel videos, right? It's exactly what it is. It's pretty straightforward. The template is on the Georgia Smoke Diver website. You know, you're going to be PTing in the morning. You know, you're going to go for a run. In between the PT and the run, you're going to do an obstacle course. So prepare for that. You're going to be in gear for an extended period of time. You're going to have your mask on for an extended period of time. And so these are the controllables that you can control, right? So if you're not comfortable in gear, I would suggest the first thing you do is get in gear. If your runtime is not up to par with the Georgia Smoke Diver standard, you better start running. The way you can do that is, you know, interval training. Get yourself a coach. I'll give a shout out to Julian Serrano. He's a Florida Smoke Diver. He's not a Georgia Smoke Diver, but he's a Smoke Diver. And I reached out to him saying, "Hey, man, how did you prepare for, you know, your program?" He's like, "Hey, man," he suggested the McGee. McGee is the 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, up, down, push-ups, four count, mountain climbers, four count, jumping jacks. Do that three times a week, two to three times a week, in gear, slick, to the point where now you're comfortable in gear. Now you can add the mask and add the pack, you know, add the helmet. Just time and attention, man. You have to spend time, you know, boots on the ground, time in gear, just to see where the hindrance is, where your weakness is, and see if you could, you know, overcome that, you know, or adapt to that. And the more time in gear, the better off you're going to be. I mean, just is our office, man, is our environment. That's the atmosphere, the setting in which we operate. So if you're not comfortable, man, the first thing I would suggest is get comfortable in gear. Wear your mask for, you know, intervals, like 30 minutes at a time, you know, an hour at a time. Bro, we had our mask on for no less than 2 hours at a time at some points. So if you're claustrophobic, maybe Georgia Smoke Diver is not the program for you, man. You know, just being blunt, being fully transparent, fully honest. How is to prep? So again, PT, calisthenics, the run, in between the run, there's obstacle course. And then, you know, you're doing evolutions. You're doing RIT. The whole program is search, right? We search everywhere, every time. But saying that, we're rescuing down firefighters. We're rescuing down victims, potential victims, right? We're rescuing actual live firefighters in gear. And how are you going to respond to that situation? So if you haven't done that prior to, smoke diver is not the time and place to find out if you're good at RIT operations. I would suggest, highly suggest you do that, you know, on your own time and prep for the program. What else? The lack of sleep, bro. One thing that alleviated or has helped me out, I get to my station at 6 a.m, my gear's on the truck. That means I got to wake up at 5, prior to 5. That's the lifestyle. All right, waking up early is how I operate. So it wasn't too much of a transition in Georgia, waking up early, the low sleep, and having your gear ready in the rig by 6 a.m. I mean, we were at the training grounds at 6 a.m. sometimes, ready to go by 6:30, you know, 6:30 the latest, 6:45 the earliest, because report time was some of the days report time is 07. So if you're on time, you're late. You know, if you're early, that means you're on time. So it's just habit, man. There really wasn't a tough transition trying to wake up early or, you know, get my calories in. Oh, that's another thing, man. I ate so fucking much for this program. Mind you, on my Garmin, I was burning 5,000 calories a day on average.
Damn.
I was consuming 4,800 calories a day. Me, personally, this is all, you know, candidate dependent, you know, person
mm-hmm.
dependent,
mm-hmm.
Human being dependent. So for my stature, my physical performance, I had to consume calories, 4,200 to 4,800 calories a day. It was a fucking Thanksgiving feast meal every day, bro. I mean, I'm not that. That in itself was a rude awakening because I don't consume that much food regularly. And I had to force feed myself in the morning. You know, chug water just to stay hydrated to be able to perform. Because what you consume in the morning is going to pay off later in the afternoon and then later on in the evenings when you're doing evolutions. Another thing, if you're not a team player, you better be one quick. You better start being a team member. There are no individuals in this program. I say that lightly, right? Because ultimately, it's up to you to get through the evolutions. And some of the evolutions are so individually, like, performance-based. But the whole program, man, is iron sharpens iron. You know, you need your teammates to be up to par. And you don't want to suck, so you have to put in the work prior to. If you're injured, don't attend. You will be exposed. That's just my 2 cents. I mean, take it with a grain of salt. If you want to go up there with a bum knee or a bum ankle or shoulder, hey man, by all means, go ahead. You know, and if you fuck around, you're gonna find out quick because it does expose you to your weakness or if something you're not strong at, right? You could be hurt. You could get through the soreness. You could get through jam my finger. I mean, something light, but an injury. You're debilitated already. You're off the rip. You're already hindered. So stay healthy, stay committed. You know, this was an all-in venture. You know, like I said earlier, I applied a handful of times and I didn't take it for granted when I finally got accepted. So I went all in, man.
What did you eat in the mornings to, because I know like some people, granted, I think this is for like more runners based, but like a lot of pasta, things of that nature. But what did you eat?
Okay, so for me, so you're overly hydrated, right? Or the point where you're waking up in the middle of the night and pissing, like going to take a leak. So
right.
In that opportunity, I would take advantage that I'm already up and I would down a protein shake, right? So okay. Calories there. Also, the protein, just, you know, amino acids just builds, aids muscle recovery and builds muscle, et cetera. So I take advantage of that, down a protein shake. When I wake up at 04:50, 5 a.m., first thing I'll do is my breathing exercises off the rip. Once that was done, then I'll start consuming calories. The first couple of days, it was oatmeal, banana, peanut butter, cinnamon, and water. The first couple of days, it got to day two, day three, well, that wasn't sitting well, the oatmeal. So I'll consume an entire bagel, and I'll just dip it in peanut butter, and I'll gush like a wad of honey on it with cinnamon, and then, you know, make it palatable, make it so where I could like not get dry mouth, and then I'll just drink it with water. So I felt like I was a competitive eater, man. Felt like I was Kobayashi, right? Up in low key, that's what I was like, I'm doing what I gotta do to be
Right.
successful at this program.
Right.
And everything that's in my control, I'm gonna go ahead and control it. So that was in the morning. A bagel, the jar, it seemed like a jar of peanut butter, a jar of honey, and, you know, a banana and water. We get to the PT grounds, on the fire ground, you know, you get to the Georgia Smoke Diver training site and start dressing up, get ready for what's ahead.
Okay.
And you're really never ready, bro. You're really never ready. You're not prepared for like the unknown or what they're going to throw at you, because you don't control shit, right? Once you're there, you're at their mercy. And so you just have to be submissive, right? You just got to submit yourself to the program and trust the program, and it's there for a reason. And the instructors will tell you, you know, do the reps, you know, embrace it, you know, enjoy the moment. Like, man, I remember thinking to myself, man, this sucks, man. This fucking sucks. But I was like, you know what? I'm in it. You got me. You guys got me. Because they'll say things that I was resonating with, you know, little comments here and there. And I was like, yes, this is exactly where I have to be. This is exactly where I need to be. I'm among my people. I'm among like-minded individuals. And this is what I want to do.
Okay. So day one shows up, you get to the training ground, you prep yourself however need be. What is it like? Like, what did you feel? Because I know from the videos that it's on Dalton Fire Department's training ground, but like they have the huge tiller that says Georgia Smoke Diver. Like, what is that environment like? Is it surreal to be like, holy shit, I'm actually like here?
Yes. You just said it, bro. You took the words right out of my mouth. Surreal. The vibe, the energy is real. Like, you can feel it. This is everything I've witnessed on YouTube. This is exactly the place I've seen countless times preparing. Like, I'm witnessing, I'm in the place where I've dreamt of being, you know, or wanted to be for so long. When we finally got there, when I finally got there, it was like, yes, thank God I'm here. Let's hit the ground running. Let's start doing some work, or let's start moving, because I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if you know the application process. It's pretty lengthy. Or for me, it was like, I gotta stop saying I'm not good at admin stuff, but paperwork, I really don't care for, even though it's necessary. Like, you have to do your physical, you have to get documents notarized and signed, you know, your department has to be okay with, you know, letting you go to this training. So the training chief has to sign you off, et cetera. So all that was so daunting, bro, that finally, when I got up there, I was like, yes, you know, all the paperwork is turned in. Let's just fucking start going. Let's just start moving. Let's just start doing some real training, or, you know, PT and working out, whatever you guys want me to do. You know, I'm here. I'm all for it. And it was just, I guess, alleviation, man, when I was finally there. And, you know, because I went up early. I went up a couple of days just to acclimatize myself,
okay,
acclimate myself to the weather. And it was cold, bro. It was cold for me. You know, I'm from Miami.
Miami, right?
I'm from down south. And it was high 20s, low 30s. And I was freezing my butt off. I was so uncomfortable. I wasn't in my element. And I grew so much for that. It was like, yes, if I'm gonna be miserable and this is gonna suck, I want to make it as miserable and sucky as possible. And it was achieved. That box was checked.
Okay. All right. Next question for you. While there on the grounds, when you witnessed a candidate hang their webbing
on whatever that thing is, signifying that they are no longer in the process to continue moving forward. What were your thoughts?
It's mixed feelings, right? Like, damn, I don't want to be that dude. Or I don't. Man, you just work. You spend so much time in training, away from family, and I just cannot foresee myself doing that. I just cannot visualize myself committing that act or saying the words to, you know, drop from the program. So it was disheartening, to say the least, right? To see someone that, you know, everyone that's there has put in some time, right? Some effort just to get there, man. Just showing up in itself deserves some type of merit, you know? And then, it depends on the state I was in, right? Because I saw some people would quit, and it just, like, it wouldn't bother me, or I just can't pay much mind to that because I need to focus on what I'm doing, right?
Okay.
But yeah, there were some real men out there that could not continue the process, and some of it was not to their own fault, right? The one guy was injured, another guy, he just was not feeling well. He mm-hmm. just did not feel well. I mean, he cannot hold down any food. He cannot, you know, consume any water. He cannot maintain his state of hydration. So he had a drop from the course. So, yeah, man, good dudes. I saw some good dudes fall, and it was like, just continue to move forward.
Okay.
But yeah, the program is not easy by no means, man. Yes, some things will be out of your control, and then, you know, how adaptable are you? You know,
yeah.
You know, the word or the phrase "survival of the fittest" came to mind often. Like, those that are most adaptable to their surroundings will survive. They're the fittest, you know, and the cream of the crop will rise to the top. You know, that was evident, and that's what this whole program is about. You know, it's so the program that, from my understanding, you know, it's not so much about a firefighter survivor course, because that's what it is, right? But it's more so a life-saving course, right? Yes. This course will save your life. If you do the work and you attend the program, and for some rhyme or reason you're not successful, you know, this course will afford you the opportunity to see what you're weak at. Where's your weakness? Do you have a weakness? You will be exposed fairly quick, you know. You don't come to the rude realization that, man, I'm not good at this. You know, I cannot continue anymore. I need to go back home, and I need to train. And I need to be aware of my limitation. So, of course, it puts a mirror in front of you, right? It puts a mirror in front of you, and it will reveal to yourself who you truly are. That being said, man, there's no money in the world, I mean, that can pay for that type of situation, right? Or opportunity. That in itself is priceless. Bro, I'm a fan. I don't know if you see me fanboying over here, but I'm a fan of course, man, and I preach it. Hopefully myself and Laura Rojas, we're the first ones to complete from our department the Georgia Smoke Dart program. Hopefully we're not the first, you know. I mean, hopefully we're not the last. You know, we are the first. Hopefully we're not the last.
Right. Okay. And so this next question, only if you can answer it. But let's just say I'm there and they tell me you have to do a certain amount of push-ups. Are they looking at form? And if your form begins to slip, do they start do they look at you and go, fix your form? Or do they just go up to you and tap you and say you're done? Like, how does that work?
Well, there is a standard.
Okay.
The standard is the standard, and the standard is there for a reason. Either you meet the standard, exceed it, but you will not be subpar the standard.
Okay.
And you will get called out fairly quick. I mean, there's a sea of black hoodies out there. You know, there's multiple instructors or cadre per candidate. I mean, everyone's always watching. And the people that are up there, these individuals, man, they're elite. That's why the
Right.
elite few, I mean,
Right.
that's a true testament of what the program is. And so if they're given a task, they're gonna uphold the standard to that task, and they're gonna keep you, they're gonna make you uphold the standard as well. Can you rest? Maybe. Sure. Will you get away with it? No, you would not. So yeah, be fearful of that.
Okay.
Because I was fearful of
All right.
that.
Okay. Okay. Weird question, but I gotta ask because I'm sure somebody out there that's listening is asking, it's like, yeah, I wanted to know that too. If you have to go to the bathroom, do you ask or do you wait until they like say break, like there's a break? Because I'm assuming you can't like in the middle of PT and you really gotta pee, you can't just be like, hey, I gotta go pee. Like, how does that work? And I want to say that I'm not saying that the GSD program are savages, but there are some people that are like, well, shit, what happens if I gotta go to the bathroom?
I mean, we're all adults. We all have the conscious decision to, make a choice. I'll just say that. I'll just leave it at that. You can make your own choice whether, you decide to raise your hand and ask the instructors if you could go to the restroom during a PT session when everyone is electing to not do that, right? Or,
I'm picking up what you're throwing down. I got you.
yeah, so I just leave it at that.
Okay. Okay. No, you're good. No, we can leave it at that. I mean, I think that answer right there should resonate with anybody that wonder, even myself, like, what happens if you got to go to the bathroom? So, all right, next question. I'm sure at some point fatigue, whether it was physically or mentally, started to set in during those days, during those long days, and start the mind games. What did you do, or what did you tell yourself to get through that? Because that's part of the program. They wear you down physically to see how your mental state's going to kick in.
Yes, exactly it. So like I said earlier, you can't go up there, you can't show up, injured. You have to be 100%. And then you start obviously dwindling down from there, right? And it gets to a point where the physicality and the physical, yes, though it's important, it starts to be a mental grind. So that kind of takes over and the physical subsides, even though you still have to be, healthy. You're during fatigue and duress and chaos, your mind will start playing tricks on you. It's human nature. How do you control your mind? How do you control that voice in your head where it says, you could be so comfortable if you just quit? Or do you tell that voice to shut the fuck up? I'm not quitting, bro. I didn't travel, 10 hours. I didn't spend all this time away from family just to, wave the flag. So, and that is what you have to put in the work prior to arriving. Are you going to that limit in training? Are you dogging yourself out, to the point of like, damn, I can't go on anymore, but I have to take another step, or I have to go another step, or I have to go another, level or floor, to get what to complete the task. Okay, do you pause? Yeah, you could pause. Can you continue? Yeah, continue. But you set out to do the work initially. You wrote whatever on the board or in the piece of paper or notepad, I'm going to do this. Say what you're going to do, man. Say that the work you're going to do, complete it. Have that confidence in yourself that you can do hard things when it gets, when you're hypoxic and when your BGL is low. I've seen myself on camera, BGL low. And I was like, oh, I don't feel good. I'm messed up, man. I can see myself. I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling it. Can I continue? Yeah. Shall I wave the flag? I don't know. Do I wave the flag? So the fire grounds is no place to discover your limitations. That's why the training grounds exist. You discover those limitations on the training grounds, not in operations.
I like it. I mean, it's 100%. Yeah, what you said right there, I know for myself, anybody I talk to, my other firemen, I always preach, if you fail, fail on the training grounds. You do not want to do it on the fire ground when lives matter, when seconds matter, when the situation matters. So perfectly said. Perfectly said. So the final day arrives. What's your thought process? Like as you wake up the morning of your last day, what's going through your head?
Oh, full transparency, I was fucked up. I was shivering the night before. The cold was getting to me. I was not feeling well. I was shivering. On day five, the night of day five, my bones were cold. Bro, I cannot explain. Like, I was in my hotel room just trying to go to sleep, and I cannot because I was so cold. I was just, man, I was like, no, I will not get sick. So I downed vitamin C. I took Theraflu. I put layers on layers to sweat it out. And finally, I started sweating just to, like, you know, be able to graduate on day six. I was out. I was telling myself, there's no way I've spent getting my shit pushed in for 5 days. And on day six, you know, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to like fall completely, like break down and falter. No. This can't be happening to me right now. Woke up on day six, elated that I was feeling, you know, that I was like, okay, we still got to perform. You know, nothing's given in this program. And it's said time and time again. And on day six, just because it's the last day and we've all seen the YouTube videos, ain't shit handed to you. You still have to go out and do PT. You still have to go out and do the old course. You still have to run. I mean, there's so much opportunity in this program to fail. You don't want to wake up in the morning to go to GSD? Fine. Don't wake up in the morning. Don't go to GSD. Fail. You don't want to go on a run? Just say the words and you fail. Just, you don't want to do the old course. You don't want to do an evolution. You don't have to do anything in this program. All right. There's so much opportunity for you to say, oh, I'm good. I want to do this, you know. But do you really want to do that? Right. Or do you want to, you know, endure the program and then come out at the end of the program, you know, a Georgia smoke diver, or an Indiana smoke diver, or a Colorado smoke diver, or an Oklahoma smoke diver, you know, smoke diver. All right.
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, no, you did.
Day six, elated.
Okay. You know, no, you're fine.
I envision myself, you know, with the shirt and the coin and whatever the bolt was, you know, because I didn't know what it was at the time. And yes, I envisioned myself on day six. I was like, give my shirt, give my coin. I need to drive south. I need to go home, you know, type of thing.
Okay. Okay. In regards to sleep, with the way they do things, when you finally get back to your room, are you able to go to sleep, or are you just, because like, I truly believe you can get to a point where you're so tired you can't fall asleep. But or did you have any issues falling asleep?
Let me see how I answer this. So I could tell you with full honesty, my Garmin did not read any sleep activity on two separate occasions, on 2 days, on two nights. So they have you in rooms, right? They have you with your smoke buddy. I'm sure you've seen, you know, pairs of two running up and down, et cetera. So you're paired with another, you know, candidate. And if that candidate is not successful, let's say, you know, I continue on. Now I'm paired up with another smoke buddy. And you may or may not have to move rooms. Right? And you got to take care of your gear. So just because you're done for the day at the Georgia Smoke Diver site doesn't mean you're done for the night. Okay. You still have to go back and prep. They preach team, gear, over self. Team, gear, self, in that order. Team comes first, then your gear, and then you come third. And I believe that. I bought in, yes. So no, you're not done.
Okay. All right. All right. So how did it feel coming out of that last evolution, when you walk out the door and one of the GSD elite states your name, and if you wish or so, a loved one's there to embrace you, like, what was that moment like when they called your name? Like, I mean, because I'm sure you thought to yourself a million times as you prepare for this program, like, that moment is what you're waiting for. It's like winning the Super Bowl or winning the World Cup for football, soccer. What's that like? What's going through your head?
You walk out that door and the chief elder, right, states your name, your Georgia Smoke Diver number, and your state number. So I vividly remember Eric Vidal, Georgia Smoke Diver, 1196, Florida 29, right? Victory, bro. Validation. You know? It's a testament of that what you've been doing works. And you were put through, you submitted yourself to a program to see if what you've been doing actually works. And yeah, it does. It works. I was looking into the crowd and my girlfriend, now my fiance, was there and I looked past her. I did not, I kind of registered, I recognized, oh, I know that girl. But then I was just looking at my team, right? I was looking at the other candidates or smoke divers, right, that were successful. And they were just waiting on the other side. And finally, when I joined them, I was just looking at them and just remember thinking, we fucking did it. We made it. I'm here with you guys. I'm here for you, you know. And then my fiance came up to me, and then I recognized her. Oh shit, you're here. I remember saying, "Oh shit, you're here," because, bro, I did not know she was gonna come up and surprise me. Oh, I did not know.
I didn't know. Do they? I was gonna ask you. Do they ask you who you want, or like?
I mean, no.
Okay. No, okay.
There's some covert operations stuff that I don't know. You know, above my pay grade. I didn't know how she knew that I was graduating, because I didn't fucking know I was graduating.
Okay.
Yeah, bro. Nothing is given. Day five, I was like, oh shit, I still gotta perform. Hopefully, I'm healthy enough to like keep up. Do the work tomorrow, because I was dreading it, man. Bro, you don't understand, Danny. Bro, I thought I was getting sick. I thought I was like not able to breathe on air. I thought I was like not be able to carry weight and then perform the obstacle course. I guess it's gnarly, man. It's gnarly. So yeah, day six. You know, in that movie, Pursuit of Happiness, when Will Smith finally gets that job and he's going down the stairs and there's no speaking, there's no dialogue. He's just, you know, elated and he's throwing his another. That feeling, man. What a rush. Wow. If you could feel that, if anyone out there can just feel that moment that I felt, I hope you would. I hope you could.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think anyone listening can visualize something or an event that has occurred in their life where they have gotten that feeling, whether it's you finally saying yes at the altar to your significant other, or the birth of a child, or whatever the case may be. I can relate to you. Granted, it's not Georgia Smoke Diver related, but I can relate to that feeling that you're talking about.
Yes, sir. So that feeling lasted all through the drive down home, you know, all the rest of Friday. It lasted up until Saturday. I still had it on Sunday, and then Monday hits and I'm on shift. Like, welcome back. Get some. Back to reality. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a whirlwind. What a whirlwind, man.
And I'm assuming when you got back, the grind don't stop, right? It was like you
No.
never left.
Correct. My life back at home was on pause, and everything was taken care of because I made sure that the family was squared away. I made sure that everything was taken care of when I was absent. That way, I come back home and hit the ground running and pick up where I left off, type of thing. There's a quote, and I don't know the exact quote. A warrior, when he goes to war, he can't worry about going home because he's no good as a warrior. The warrior has to be in the war, fully committed. Otherwise, he's useless. He's not a warrior. So I applied that mentality when I went overseas, when I was in the military, when I was in the army. And yeah, bro, I applied that same mentality. Now I'm going to fucking war, So yeah.
Okay. What advice would you give to anyone thinking about enrolling in, whether it's Georgia, Indiana, Florida, any of the smoke dagger programs? What advice would you give to anyone listening that wants to contemplate doing this?
Do it. Just don't even think about it. Just do it. Sign up, start training for it. Mr. Jason Castell says, and I quote, "You can train for absolutely anything," end quote. And I truly believe that. You want it, bro. Start doing your up downs. get comfortable in that push up position because you're gonna live there. Start doing your jumping jacks with a pack on, with a weighted vest. Get comfortable in that TP, that mountain climbing position, being semi-inverted and shuffling your legs. Start slicking down, doffing off all your gear, going for a run, 3 to 5 mile run. It's there, bro. It's there for the taking. Join us. I did it. I'm no better than you. I'm just a man. I'm just a man who dedicated a portion of his life to accomplish something and be among, like-minded men and women. That's it. That's all it is, man. This course will save your life. I preach that. I get approached often. Hey, man, how was it? Bro, it was fucking real. The smoke was real. The heat was real. The grind was real. I put myself in those ripped evolutions as it was a real down firefighter. How would I perform under duress? How can I maintain my composure, when there's chaos around me? I would highly encourage anyone to do it. There is no discouragement here. There's only we're only lifting up people. You know what I'm saying? I wish I had that. So I'm just paying it forward.
Oh no, I 100%. I understand 100%. Any advice to the candidate looking to do this on what they can work on? Like I said, only answer if you can. Like what I'm asking is any specific job, like, all right, so if a person's weak on forcible entry, should they start along with training physically and getting ready for it, should they also work on fire ground skills is what I'm trying to ask. What fire ground skills should an individual, if they are weak in, focus on?
100%. So, yes, basic firemanship. You will get tested. Can you throw a ladder? Can you force a door? Stretch a line? Coil a line? Can you mule? Can you be the mule for a hose line in place? Yeah. There's one certainty, a couple of certainties that I learned in this program. Number one, you have to be strong. You have to have strength. Whether it be physically or mentally, both are ideal. If you're strong, you can taper off, your strength. If you're weak, you cannot act strong. You can't be strong. You're weak. Strength is absolute. So there's that. And then the other certainty is, again, is a life-saving course. This course will save your life. If you're weak in an area, if you're, a detriment, if something's detrimental to you, something you don't want to attack or something you shy away from, if you have a weakness, you will get exposed. And you're going to learn quick. You will learn quick. Bro, I got stories, bro. And some of them I'll hold on to, right? But yeah, everything and anything that is thrown at you in the academy, the maze, the pool evolution, search, bro, you're gonna live in the push-up position and you're gonna live on your knees. So if you're not comfortable in the tripod slide, start training it. Get comfortable. Get some knee pads.
Okay. All right. I can tell you from the outside person looking in, I just want to say, man, I truly was very happy. And, because, they usually give daily updates at some point during the day and like they take pictures. So I'm sure everybody's scrolling through to see like who's who, who's where and whatnot. And then I like how they always put like 47 started, the day ended with 35 or whatever the case may be. So to see you reach that pivotal moment where they handed you your coin, the bolt, and I saw you embrace your girlfriend, now fiance, congratulations, by the way. It was like, damn, all the work that you put in, the people you hang around, the people you surround yourself with, how you train for the job, being physically fit and ready to go, like it all came to fruition. And I just want to say that I am glad to say that I know you. Like everything that you're doing for yourself is also having an effect on people that follow you, that are friends with you, that kind of want to emulate you in a way. Not saying they need to be Eric Vidal, but
dude, I'm humble, man.
Like they, no, seriously, like they,
thank you.
Like any smoke diver I meet, because that shit, what they go through is not easy. And the fact that you can do it just shows how much determination and grit you have. But I also want to say, if you are not a Georgia smoke diver like myself, don't misconstrue that message either. Keep doing what you do, because not very many people can't afford to leave their family for a week to go do this. So don't take what I'm trying to say as if you're not a GSD elite member, you're not a nobody. That's not what I'm saying. But it like I posted on social media, man, I was truly happy for you. That all the work that you did, man, all the shit I'm sure that came into your head, stuff that you missed preparing for, you said a year out, man, all came to fruition, man. And Eric, I just want to say congratulations. I got to give you your flowers, dude. I'm a real person. I'm a realist. So I always give credit where it's due.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm at a loss for words.
I mean, all that hard work, all that hard work paid off, man. I mean, like we kind of spoke while you were there a little bit, all that hard work paid off. And it just, I just want the listeners to understand, whether it's a Georgia smoke diver program, a promotional test, getting out of your comfort zone, whatever you're trying to obtain, you can do it. You just have to put in the work.
Yes, sir. 100%. You just, bro, I'm telling you, you cannot just wake up one morning and say, oh, I just want to go to Georgia smoke divers and attend the program. You cannot. Maybe you can, surprising.
There are anomalies out there. Right. Right.
Yeah. There are exceptions to every rule. I mean, prove me wrong. But for this, from my personal experience, the work was put in, man. And I vividly remember in our first podcast, I told you, I will get what I deserve. I will get what I deserve. Did I put in enough time training? Did I force doors? Did I force enough doors? Did I throw enough ladders? I mean, Did I do enough rip packaging? I mean, damn, you just don't know, man. You try to prepare for the unknown, and it's like, well, there's only so much time in the day, right? So you know that. You know, there's daylight, there's daybreak, you know, and you know, I'm gonna control what I can control, you know. Yeah, bro, I was looking at the videos. I was trying to mimic my days to emulate some type of training around what I was watching, what I was seeing. And the program is exactly what you see on YouTube. Is that and more? Is that and so much more? I mean, maybe the videos don't do him justice, man, because, wow, what a testament of will that program is. And I saw grown-ass men say no more, you know? And you know, my partner, Laura Rojas, female. What a baddie, bro. Wow.
Yeah, shout outs to her. Because I think there was two female graduates.
Yeah. And Hoffman.
Okay.
Rojas and Hoffman. Wow. Talk about, I go to war with them. Yo, survival. Survivors, bro. You know, grinded it out. And I saw some good dudes leave, you know. Some dudes had, whether it's family or they couldn't keep down any nutrition or they got injured, you know. I saw some good dudes leave, man. So, I mean, there are those elements. There are those things that, you know, are out of your control. And then, you know, how can you minimize or, you know, mitigate the damage? You know, do you decide to stay and, you know, cause even more damage, or do you decide to, like, okay, you know what, you know, I'm just gonna call it and, you know, live to fight another day type of thing, you know? Hey, no harm, no foul, you know? I mean, GSD ain't going nowhere, you know, hopefully, because it's needed in the fire service. We need this program in the fire service, I mean. Just the amount of instructors and cadre that were out there, you know, giving back on their own time, their own dime, you know, it's amazing, bro. It's what an environment to be in. What a hell of an organization or program to be a part of, you know. And I'm a testament to that, you know. And this conversation, bro, this would have been possible. If you think it would have been possible if I wouldn't have graduated, you know, would I have all these stories, you know?
Right.
No, I don't know. I was asked, oh, damn, bro, did you see yourself fail? You know, what would you have done if you wouldn't have passed, bro? I don't know, bro. I didn't think that far ahead. You know, like, it wasn't an option, man. You know, like, hey. So on day two and into day three, it became like back to day one. Day three is day one. Day four is day one. Day five is day one. I mean, we're fucking day one. Let's go. You know, approach it with the same enthusiasm, you know, and mindset that you had on day one. You know. Oh, here I got a, you know Riley Kilbride.
Yeah. From when you were saying from Lexington.
Yeah. When you were saying, bro, I was avidly watching you. You know, seeing where you were. You know, keeping the track. You know, like, it's. He said, I, because he congratulated me as well, and I was like, hey man, you were watching the whole time. And he said, and I quote, yeah man, HBO type shit, and that's how. Bro, the canvas remaining, whichever number to how many graduate,
right?
It's gnarly, bro.
Right.
There's a reason why the attrition rate is so high, you know. Because like I said, you don't want to go on a run, you don't want to do anything. There's so much opportunity for you to fail. You just, like, say, you know, F it. And even my own family, they were watching, scrolling through social media. I wouldn't give them any, like, updates. Not really. Just my girl. I thought, oh, I'm moving on to day two.
Okay.
You know, past day two, I'm moving on to day three. Like, real minimal communication. When I left, I was like, listen, I'm going to go. You know, I'm going to go off.
I'm going off the grid.
I'm going offline. And I was off social media for a solid month before that, because I didn't want to see. I didn't want to be swayed or influenced in any type of way.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay in my lane. I'm going to control what I can control. And then I just don't want any external factors to, like, you know, mess with my current mindset or my state of mind. And I was like, I'm offline, you know, I'm radio silent type of thing. And it worked out, because I didn't want to point the finger at anyone. If if I was successful or not, it was going to be my own doing.
Okay.
And I really did not want to point the finger, oh, I should have done this, or I should have done that, or I'm blaming others. No, this is on me. Whether I passion or not, it's going to be on me. And so, yeah, before I left, I told her, listen, I need you to hold it down. I'm just going to approach this like, you know, I'm at war. And I rarely talk, you know, back at home when I was overseas. So if you hear from me, that's good news. No news is good news type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you hear from me at night, it's good. If you don't hear from me during the day, it's good. So I didn't have my phone on me, man. Like, it was no reason to have your phone on you. And what a relief. Where you could just, like, you know, disconnect,
mm-hmm.
and just focus at the task at hand, focus on the rep at hand, just focus on the instructions you're receiving. Oh, that's another thing. So the PT in the morning, and then the evolutions and instructions you receive. Can you apply what you've learned? Can you apply what we just taught you? You know, how quick are you? How adaptive are you? How do you respond to, you know, fatigue and not being, you know, in the right state of mind? So yeah, that the mentorship is there, right? Apart from the ass kicking, yeah. These men want you to succeed. They want you to be a part of the brotherhood and sisterhood. Yeah. They want to see you win. You know, all you, but you know, the standard is the standard. You have to meet it to be on the other side. So yeah, shout out to Riley. He made me laugh with that comment. And a couple of people you had on your show, like Jason Worthy,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
solid dude. And what you were saying about, you know, just keep on doing the work. I was asked a couple of days ago, hey man, what advice would you give your younger self, like, in your fire service career? And I was like, bro, I wish I would have been sober earlier. Because, you know, or like all the work that I've been doing. Like all the work that you put in, even though you don't think it's not being seen, someone's watching.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Just keep on doing the work, bro. Just go. Let your voice be heard. You have something to say, and the message or this lifestyle has to spread, man. It has to. There's a place for it in the fire service. You know, I'm not the only one that believes it. You know, or preaches it. There's other people.
Absolutely.
Like us, you know, we got to train in gear. We got to be able to respond on any given day. It's fitness, man. We're just preaching fitness. It's, you know, be fit. So, yeah, when you were talking about what I was doing, I was getting a little choked up, man.
No, I mean, no, like I said, man, I'm being real. I mean, because I follow you. And I didn't know, and this is where, how you say, you know, that group of ours, I didn't know you until my buddy Jeremy Gilbert put me onto you. He's like, hey, you need to follow this dude, Eric Vidal. I was like, all right, send. So he sent me the screenshot. I found you. I followed you. This is what it's about. It's that network of Riley is a part of it. Jason Worthy is a part of it. Nate Sturm's part of it. Logan Broberg, Basil, McGee. Like, there's a group out there, Timothy McGow, like there's a group of individuals out there who are just trying to spread the message of training gear, like your motto says, training gear, be fit for the job. We're not telling people to go out there and do some crazy Navy SEAL shit, but just go out there and sweat, put the work in, because our job requires it. It requires us to do that. If we have to do anything, that little bit is what we need to give back to the community. Because these are the people that are counting on us.
100%.
But no, Eric, man, I appreciate you coming on the second time. I wanted to do one because, like I said, I have a few friends that, I mean, even myself, I thought about it. I'm not there yet. But, you know, I know there's people out there that, want to know a little bit more about the program without divulging any secrets. So these are the questions that I figured people wanted to know. They can envision themselves through you, like, all right, I show up day one. This is it. Day two, day three, your mind's going to fuck with you. You might have some issues with your body that you need to fix to keep moving forward. So I appreciate you coming
Yes.
on, man, and talking.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
Thank you,
Congratulations.
sir.
Well earned.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.